Want to get the edge in your Premier League betting predictions? Pinnacle delved deeper into the data behind all of the Premier League matches every single game week. We combine Pinnacle's sharp betting markets with the game's latest analytical metrics to help you find value in the odds. This is EPL Insights.
We back. And what a weekend ahead. And I'm just not talking about the football. It's Super Bowl weekend as well. So we have a super edition of EPL Insights coming your way. It's game week 24. Gareth Wheeler, Jake Osgathorpe with you. Do you have Super Bowl fever, Jake? Have you gone through all the props and lines? Have you been following our good friend Rob Pozzola and the team with Forward Progress and the Hammer breaking it all down for you and I? How are you feeling about this upcoming weekend?
You know what? I'm actually, it's not quite sunk in that it's a Super Bowl yet. I don't know why, but that the 2 week gap in between, it just seems to throw me off. You're so used to the repetitive bang, 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 week after week after week NFL for what, 18 weeks plus playoffs. And then you get a little lull and it just kind of just goes off. But I'm planning on listening to all the podcasts that Pinnacle put out tonight, because you get basically Thursday, Friday, Saturday to get your bets on. And that's when the markets are pretty formed. You get quite a lot of money down. And yeah, I'm definitely still leaning towards Chiefs.
Pinnacle put it out, best in market Chiefs money line at +119. Superior than anything else out there. I made that bet early, straight away. It was the Sunday of the NFC and AFC championship games. I bought it up a little bit to Chiefs +3 and a Chiefs money line bet. And the way I look at it, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes, and I'm certainly not betting against Taylor Swift. I'm not a Gen Z-er, Gen Z-er, whatever you want to call it, if that's it. Taylor Swift isn't for me, but I know that good things have been happening to the Chiefs. That's generally what happens. Sure. As a Philadelphia Eagles fan, last Super Bowl, if you need a call to go your way, Mahomes. Chiefs taking points seems straightforward to me. So you don't need to listen to that podcast. Well, do it anyway. But listen to this podcast because it's a busy weekend in the Premier League as well. And we're coming off game week 23 where there was a lot that went down. It was an eventful week as well. On this podcast, we'll go through our feature five matches of the week. We go rapid fire for the rest and present our best bets along the way. I have bets in 9 of the 10 games this week. The one game I don't, can you guess it this week? You know me, you know my tendencies, you know my fandom.
Palace-Chelsea?
No, I'm just not touching Villa United. It's part of our future five. I do not know what to expect in that game. So leaving that one alone, perhaps over the course of this podcast, I may change my mind.
Yeah, I'll persuade you. I've got a really solid play in that one, yeah.
My rubber arm, it just bends in whatever direction that you want to take it. Last week, a couple things to bring up. Arsenal's 3-1 victory over Liverpool was the headliner. The goals conceded by Liverpool in that game, Jake. Come on.
I was like, you're not winning titles defending like that, are you?
I was like, is this the real world? Did that actually happen? Did you do it on purpose? Like, all these things go through. I couldn't believe it. Fair play. Arsenal played really well. It was a weird starting 11 for Klopp as well. Nunez not in the 11. Just it was a weird one. What do you make of that result and what it means for the potential market?
Yeah, I mean, like we said last week, we kind of broke it down. It was effectively for Arsenal anyway, just do not lose. If Arsenal lost, I think they were out of the title race. A draw would have kept them in it just, but that win has really brought them back into it, especially because they've already been to Anfield as well. They've ticked that one off, which is one of the most difficult places to go on any team's schedule. But yeah, they're right back in the hunt. But obviously, Arsenal's win just opened the door again for City, who now are 2 points behind with a game in hand and are doing just City things, aren't they, at the moment, in terms of just tearing off win after win after win. I think it's 9 wins in a row in all competitions. It seems pretty inevitable, especially now they've got obviously Haaland back fit on Monday night. De Bruyne looks sharp and looks really good. Obviously, in terms of the market, that Liverpool win did see Man City's price shorten even more so. They're now into -165. We did say get on them around even money about three, four weeks ago, maybe about a couple of months ago before Christmas. Yeah, that price was extremely generous given what we've seen from City in the second half of seasons regularly. So I still think it's going to be a City title win. We could have. I think for the title race, we could have done with Liverpool winning because I think that would have kept it a little bit more entertaining. But it's hard to look past City. And like you said, the defensive issues Liverpool showed in that game were, you can't be doing that in a big spot.
I don't know if they're defensive issues or just mistakes. It was like errors, calamity. It was just,
I think it was a mixture because Arsenal did expose some weaknesses in the way in which they played. And like you said, not starting Darwin Nunez was a head scratcher for me. Just someone where Arsenal were pressing so high, it just needed someone, a big focal point in the middle to beat the press. And, you know, if they needed to, hit a channel ball to let him chase it and get everyone up the pitch a little bit. But they couldn't get out in the first half. And Arsenal absolutely deserved the win. They were the much better team on the day. And obviously the fortuitousness of the goals kind of masks the fact that they were really, really good on the day.
Alisson Becker, no chance he could win goalkeeper of the year. No chance in the Premier League. I think that it raised a little bit more doubt about Liverpool than anything to do with boosting Arsenal's title credentials from where I stand. It's all about City right now and whether Liverpool can do enough to hold them off. But there's certain players and certain teams, when they're not there, they just completely look a different outfit. Olise on Crystal Palace, Rodri on Man City, Szoboszlai
on a Bradley at Liverpool.
I was going Szoboszlai because guy,
he's out, isn't he, for a couple of months now.
He makes them tick. And that midfield, him and McAllister in it together, maybe it's a combination of those two, but one of the signings of the season, and one that maybe isn't talked about as much as it should. He's been that good for Liverpool. They've really missed him. A 4-4 thriller. St. James's Park, 4-4. Yeah. Newcastle, Luton Town. One of my many winning bets. It was a very profitable. I don't have the numbers in front of me, Jake, but I felt good about my plays last week.
Yeah, you had a good week. You had your biggest win was City and both teams to score.
Plus 341, I believe.
Yeah, which was a nice price. You had Luton on the handicap. Yeah, I had goals in that one. I had over three goals. Who would have thought going into the season that Luton would score four goals in back-to-back games against teams who qualified for Europe last season? Insane.
Wild. It's a great story that's developing for anyone but maybe Everton or Forest or Palace. I'm not sure who else you want to put into that relegation fight. The other thing that stood out about last week, 9 of the 10 games went over 2.5. And the one game that
brought us there.
And the one game that didn't, it finished 1-1. Both teams to score played. It's like it's been one of those trends where this season we've played far more to, or games have played far more to the over, and a lot of both teams to score than typically have played out over Premier League seasons. What do you make of it? Is it just based on style of play, the makeup of these of the sides? What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think we've definitely got a lot more progressive coaches in the league in terms of wanting to play on the front foot. We've got far fewer, if you think yesteryear, your defensive-minded coaches like your Allardyces that are happy to sit on a clean sheet and maybe win a game. That
poor
definitely
Big
plays
Sam.
Into it.
Poor Big Sam. He's the guy, isn't he?
He did get labelled like that, and unfortunately we're yet to see him turn into expansive style of a manager. And even Roy Hodgson, to some extent, is still in that category. I know he had a bit of a renaissance at the back end of last season when he had pure vibes with Olise and Eze, but as soon as they're injured, it doesn't look like he's got a clue. But yeah, as you said, just the goals have been silly. So I did a bit of counting, and if you'd have backed over 2.5 goals in every single Premier League game this season, you would have been paid out 64% of the time. So it's really high strike rate. And that, if you just do the straight, this percentage chance equals this implied odds, then you're looking at a blanket price of about -178, which is really short for the overs. So my advice to you would be anytime you get an over line that looks around the -140 for over 2.5, to snap that up, because so far this season we have seen just an insane amount of goals, average of 3.2 per match, which is just off the scale. If you take that line a little bit higher, so over 2.75 goals, which you're going to get a bigger price for, you would have had a full winner in 95 of the 228 matches with a push in 52, half win in 52 matches, which again, you're going to be well in profit if you're just hammering that overs line. And looking at some of the lines this week, I may be going down that route.
Okay. The funny thing is that the leading goal scorers in the Premier League are, this is going to sound weird, only at 14 right now. But there, I believe there's double-digit players who are in double-digit goals already. So the goals are being spread out a lot more. There's not like Holland running away with it or anything like that. It's been kept tight. And the two players that are in the lead have missed time. Erling Haaland a little bit, and Mo Salah through injury as well.
Son's a couple of goals back. He's been at the Asian Cup. And Alexander Isak, another one who's been, you know, his minutes are shared with Callum Wilson. He's still hit 10 goals. Richarlison missed quite a bit of time as well.
I think he has 9 and 8 now. I think that's in my notes for the Spurs game.
I've got it up now. It's crazy. He's scored 10 goals in 1,216 minutes of football. And Son has scored 12 goals in nearly 500 minutes more. So in terms of goals per 90, Richarlison's way ahead of his Tottenham teammate. Same with XG per 90. His XG per 90, Richarlison, is bettered only by Erling Haaland, which kind of shows you that when he's on the pitch, he's getting on the end of really good chances regularly. So in terms of player props, I know he's hot right now, but I still think you're getting a good price on Richarlison to score.
And how many did he have all of last season? Two? Was it two?
Something goals? Like that, yeah. It took him ages to break his duck, didn't he? He was the meme of the year, wasn't he? When he kept scoring, taking his shirt off, and then it's been disallowed, mate. But you got a yellow card, so
It's a public play, but the over goals for the people. That's the theme of the 2023-2024 season. So let's get into game week 24 with our feature five. And let's start off with the opening match of the weekend. Early kickoff on Saturday between Manchester City and Everton. City second place, 2 points back on 49 points with the game in hand on Liverpool. It was a Phil Foden show. Three goals. Didn't he score with his right, his left, and his head in the game?
I think he did, yeah.
As well.
Perfect. Incredible.
Foden 3, Brentford 1. Neil Mope actually scored first. City conceded first in that game. Then it was the Phil Foden show. So they're playing the last game of last game week and the first match of this game week. They had 25 shots, 11 on target over the course of the match as well. That's 9 wins in a row in all competitions for City, 5 straight wins in the Premier League since a 2-2 home draw to Palace. No losses in 12 in all competitions. They've gone over 2.5 in 8 of their last 10 in all competitions. Interestingly, in the 5 games since the Club World Cup in the Premier League, they finished 3-1 three times, 3-2 another time, and just that one clean sheet, it was 2-0, and that came against Sheffield United. So they're still conceding goals. They're unbeaten at home, 7-3-0, 27 home goals is a big number. But, and this is the big but, they have an XG of 19.14. So they've scored just under 8 more goals than what XG is telling us, courtesy of Understat. 12th best in XG right now, but they have only played 10 home games. They have a completely clean bill of health. Ho-hum. As that machine rolls forward. Everton sit in 18th place, 19 points. It's because of the deduction. If there was no points deduction, they'd be 12th. Respectable. They'd be playing some good football. 3 straight Premier League draws now for the Toffees. 2-2 against Spurs last time out. A Branthwaite goal in stoppage time. He's an excellent young player, isn't he? Both goals for Everton in the game coming off set pieces. They did have a 3.26 XG in that game, and they did 2.87 XG against Fulham the timeout before that. Idrissa Gueye came back. They really missed his legs in the midfield while he was gone at the AFCON. And now they're waiting on Onana, who's training, and Doucouré still a little bit off. Still no wins in the last 6 in the Premier League. Everton, although conceding from set pieces, have the fewest goals from open play in the Premier League with 13. 17 points from 11 away matches. It's a good return for Everton. 5th best away defensive record as well. Head-to-head, City beat Everton 3-1. Everton actually scored first in that game and lost. City hasn't lost to Everton in 14. Everton haven't kept the clean sheet against City in 14, although they did play to a 1-1 final at the Etihad last season. What do you make of this game? Do you have a lean? Do you have a play?
I find this one quite tough. I was surprised to see the handicap line at 2, I will be honest, because we've seen teams go there. I think Sheffield United were 2.25. Everton are a much better team than Sheffield United. And now that they've got, obviously, a couple of players back fit, my lean would definitely be towards them on the handicap. I don't know if I want to make it an official play just because of what we've seen from Everton recently in terms of they obviously, when we were high on them, they were performing well. They were getting the good results to back up their good performances. It's taken a bit of a dip recently. And admittedly, you look at the schedule, they are winless in 6. They played Spurs, City, Wolves away, which is a tough ask. Villa, who are a good team. Fulham away. Yeah, they probably would have marked that down as a potential win. But then Spurs. So they've played effectively 5 really tough games and then Fulham. So it's not too much of, you know, I'm not completely alarmed with their poor run of form, but yeah, the fact they're playing City again, a team that went to Goodison Park and beat them fairly comfortably. I probably will be looking at making a pro Everton play maybe in the next game for the next round of fixtures, but I'm happy to leave this alone. I think the goal line's maybe a touch too high, so we'll be maybe looking at the overs. Again, what I said before about the overs, this is quite a high line. We're at 3.25 at the minute on Pinnacle. I could see this being a very comfortable City win, so obviously Winter Nil comes into play. I have got no bet down for this one.
Yeah, one of the problems with Everton plus 2 on the handicap is that minus 117 on Pinnacle. Mm-hmm. Not a number I love, but that was my initial lean. But I want to discuss the trend that I brought up in recent weeks. City conceding cheap goals. They don't give up a lot of chances. Everton, however, create a lot of chances. They have a higher XG on this season than teams like Brighton and Brentford and United and Wolves and West Ham. They're a top half of the table team in terms of expected goals because they do create. They're relentless in their running, and I like that style of play for them. And City, for whatever reason, they don't keep clean sheets. In fact, Jordan Pickford has the most clean sheets in the Premier League. It's not Ederson. Like, City just concede goals despite the numbers suggesting that they shouldn't be conceding from the amount of chances that they give up. So the number that I immediately go to, Everton to score a goal, it's on the team total, Everton over half a goal at minus 104. It's almost even money. Even if City do win comfortably, they tend to concede. And it's a lot to do with the way they play. Like, the way that Pep plays, it's absolutely unbelievable. There are 5 defenders and 5 attackers on the field at all times. He just says, Rodri, you take care of the midfield. And then we'll have players that will chip in and put in some work and get in the right position at times. Like, last time out, it was De Bruyne, Alvarez, Foden, and Bernardo Silva with Haaland leading the line. This is how they play now. And he just leaves Rodri there, and he allows his fullbacks to go forward and says, we're going to keep the ball, so we're not going to do much defending anyway. So there you have it. I just think it leaves them open to conceding cheap, unnecessary goals. And he's not going to change it playing at home, especially coming off a win last week, playing against this Everton team. So it's something that I think it's worth watching and monitoring. City don't concede a lot of goals, but they concede regularly, like almost every game. So Everton to score a goal at minus 104, that works for me. What do you make of the way that City are conceding goals? Because I think it's something that stands out when you look at the results and the way they play, and it's something that's that maybe contradicts maybe their expected goals against to a certain degree.
Yeah, it's always an interesting case study with Manchester City because they dominate so much of the ball, they create so many chances, but when they do concede a chance, it's generally of quite a high value. Just because they commit so many bodies forward, it's very rare that they're penned in their own box and someone's shooting from 30 yards because they're sitting deep and it's a low probability chance it goes in. It's usually a one-on-one or, you know, a second ball from a corner or something like that, which obviously means there's a higher chance of it going in when they do concede a chance, which kind of makes sense in that regard. What I would say is, at home in particular, they're obviously much better defensively at home. They've been like that for a long period of time now. They've conceded 10 times in their 10 league games this season, an XG of 0.86 per game, So, I mean, I'm not saying Everton aren't going to score, because Everton have shown more than enough in terms of attacking qualities. But yeah, it's definitely a play that I would make away from home, like definitely every single time, just purely because of the way in which they play and the home team feel like they have to at least go on the front foot at some point against City to appease the home fans, if you like, give them something to cheer about. Away from home, I'm always a little bit tentative. But like I said, I definitely wouldn't be opposed to seeing to taking Everton here, just because what they've showed so far. I'd still a little bit wary of Everton without Abdoulaye Doucouré. He's a big player for them. We're not sure whether he's going to be back. I don't think he's going to make it for this one, maybe next game, but he's a really important player. I think they've won once without him this season, which is 10 games. So that's one to keep an eye on. He just breaks the lines with his runs and supports the striker.
I get it, but they have a lot more depth this year in those positions than they once had. I think that, again, Idrissa Gueye coming back in allows Harrison, McNeil, like different players to go up and make a nuisance of themselves. So, Everton scored at the Etihad last year. They scored against them this season. Let's go. Let's go get a goal again to make Gareth Wheeler a very happy man. Let's move things forward on Saturday. It's Spurs and Brighton. You like goal totals? Does Jake have the audacity to bet on the total in this one of over 3.5 at even money? Well, yeah, at even money, where it stands right now on Pinnacle. We'll get that answer in a moment. But first, I'll tell you, Spurs sit fifth in the table and with Aston Villa on 40, just behind Aston Villa on 44 points. They finished 2-2 last week against Everton. That Branthwaite goal, 90+4, spoiled what was it initially a really good performance, but one where they really held on at the end. Richarlison Brace, he has 4 goals in 4, 9 goals in his last 8 games overall. And like I mentioned, both goals conceded in the game came on set pieces. The XG, courtesy of Understat in that game, Everton 3.26, Spurs 0.92. Spurs haven't kept a clean sheet in the Premier League in 6. They played to over 2.5 in 6 of 8 in all comps. Both teams to score 6 of 8. And in the Premier League, that's over 2.5 in, and both teams to score have played in 13 out of the last 14 Spurs league games. They're undefeated in their last 4 in the Prem. The last loss in the league, well, it came to Brighton. It was a 4-2 final. They're 8-0-3 at home, although they have the third worst home expected goals against. But they've only given up 15 goals in 11 games, and they won their last 3 at home. And once again, they all went over the total and both teams score. Bissouma and Son are on their way back from the AFCON and Asian Cup, respectively. And Lo Celso and Solomon are really the only 2 players out. Finally, Spurs back fully fit, back healthy. For Brighton, they sit in 8th on 35 points. After giving up 4 to Luton Town, they went out and scored 4 against Crystal Palace in a 4-1 win. They're up 3-0 by halftime. This one was done early. Interesting, De Zerbi decided to start Estupiñán from the bench. Also notable, Ansu Fati did come off the bench to play in that game, returning from a long-term injury absence. Those 2 back-to-back goalless draws that they played a few weeks back, they were far back now in the rearview mirror, because now they've gone over 2.5 and 4 of 5, no clean sheets in their last 3. 3-3-5 away from home, 16 goals scored, 23 conceded, although they have the 6th best expected goals against away from home. They've gone 5 games without a win away in the Premier League. Matoma's on his way back now from the Asian Cup. Veltman is close. Adringa's really the big miss, as he's still away with the Ivory Coast, hoping to win an African Cup of Nations. Head-to-head, as I mentioned, Brighton beat Spurs 4-2. Brighton went up 4-0 in that game. Spurs won this fixture last season by a score of 2-1. You can get Spurs on the win in this one outright on Pinnacle at -124, the draw at +337, a Brighton win at +295. Are you looking at the result here? Are you looking at the goals total? What are you looking at for this game?
This could be a pretty wacky game, as the total suggests. Even money for over 3.5, which is pretty mental, to be fair. Over 3.5's landed in 95 of the 228 league games this season, so it's had a 42% strike rate. Which is pretty high, but that's obviously implied odds of plus 138 as opposed to plus 100. Obviously, you have to factor in the attack and defense of each team. So I would suggest that you know it's got a really good chance of landing, as the price would tell you. We only have to look at Spurs' recent games to know that this could easily be fall into that category of over 3.5. I mean, 4-2, 3-1, 2-2, 3-2, another 2-2, but I think there's more value in taking Spurs to win and both teams to score, which is a bet that I've played the last 2 weeks. I was denied with an extra added time goal last week. I'm going to play the same game. I think the players that Spurs have got coming back will make them miles better, to be honest. Obviously, Bissouma coming in, just they've missed him massively the last couple of weeks just to shore things up a little bit. Obviously, Bentancur's been in there, but he's a slightly different player. Bissouma makes a little bit more defensively solid. Having Son back, means that there's at least going to be an option from the bench because they've not really had one of those for a while playing the front four. Obviously, Madison's back fully fit. Papa Sarr should be back in as well. I like the way in which Spurs are shaping up. And I think the most important thing is, I know you said that they got beat 4-0 at Brighton.
They were down 4-0 in the game.
Yeah, Brighton can do that to anybody, especially the Spurs team that play quite high and quite aggressive. But the big point for me in that game is that Spurs had Emerson Royale and Ben Davies at centre-half. This game, they're going to have Van de Ven and Romero, which is a massive upgrade. And I think that they'll be able to play much better and deal with Brighton in a much better manner. As you said, home form, they've been really good. Creating plenty of chances. It's 1-8, lost 3 of their 11. One of those defeats, obviously, was that strange Chelsea game. Created loads of chances, concede chances. We know Brighton are probably going to go there and score, but I just think Spurs have got a little bit more firepower and they'll outscore them. So we're getting plus 184 for Spurs to win and both teams to score. I wouldn't put anyone off just backing the straight Spurs win, to be honest, because when they've got their full complement, I do think that they're comfortably the best four team in the league.
Okay. Confidence. I like the confidence there. Well, for Brighton, my Brighton bet is both teams to score in the over. If you look at it on Pinnacle, minus 160. I mean, there's just nothing there. But stylistically, I think this game works well for Brighton. I don't know if they'll win. I'm tempted just to play over the total at even money. I really, really am in this game because the way that Spurs play, taking all kinds of risk. This is the type of game that Brighton relishes. The games where they've struggled is when teams have really closed down the shop and really just tried to hit them on the counter, or they give up a bunch of goals early and they try to get back into the game. I just think that Brighton are going to score goals in this game. That's why I'm looking at the team total again here. Brighton over 1.5 at plus 131. You're getting a lot of juice for the team to score twice. You said it. Brighton will probably score in this game. I wouldn't doubt it. If they're going to score one, why wouldn't – I think they can score two the way that they've been trending and the way that this Spurs team is just so aggressive in terms of their attacking football. Bringing the fullbacks high, De Zerbi will have a plan to exploit the wide areas of the field. If Matoma comes back into this team, such an important player in that role as well. So I like Brighton to score goals. I don't know how it's going to finish. Really looking forward to this game. A full unit play, over 1.5 goals for Brighton at plus 131. Anything else to add here?
No. As long as it finishes 3-2, then we're both happy.
Done.
Which is a very real possibility.
It could be 5-4. I don't know what it is. Again, I wouldn't try to persuade anyone from not touching the total in this game. I actually ended up playing an additional bet for the Brighton Palace game last weekend over the total as well. It was a double play, double win for Brighton as we're back in the good, backing Brighton, one of my favorites over the last few seasons. Luton Town and Sheffield United also on Saturday. Luton Town 17th place, and they remained out of the relegation zone. 20 points in 22 games with a thrilling 4-4 draw at St. James's Park. They're up 4-2 in the game. they look like they're going to win it. They conceded twice late, back-to-back games that they've now scored four times. No losses in six games overall. They played to over 2.5 and 4 of 5. Both teams to score have played in 4 of 5. And just one loss in their last six games in the Premier League. 3-2-6 at home. 17 goals scored. 17 conceded. Not bad at all at Kenilworth Road. 11 points. But their expected point total on Understat, 15.12. And they've already played Liverpool, Arsenal, and City at home already. So they've already played the three top teams in the Premier League at home. And still, their numbers are very good. And they're just about fully fit as well. Obviously, Tom Lockyer's out for the season, but they're very healthy. Sheffield United, the squad's getting more fit, but they're standing not healthy whatsoever. Bottom of the table. 10 points in 23 and buried by 10 points in the relegation zone. They were embarrassed, humiliated. Hasn't really happened under Chris Wilder. It was bound to. And it happened in a 5-0 loss to Aston Villa. They were down 4-0 within half an hour, the first half hour of the game. It's the second game in three in all competitions that they've given up 5 goals. No wins in 4 in all competitions, giving up 14 in the process. 2 draws and 5 losses in the last 7 in the Premier League. These are bad numbers, everyone. Over 2.5 in their last 5 games. They're the only team without an away win as well. 0-2-9. 7 goals scored, 28 conceded. 4 fewer goals scored away than anyone, and the most goals conceded. And an XG of 6.11 in 11 games played away. It's just nauseous. It's brutal. Head-to-head, Luton Town beat Sheffield United away 3-2, but they were outplayed in that game. It was 2 own goals that sunk Sheffield United in that game. Luton Town haven't lost to Sheffield United in their last 3, and Sheffield United no clean sheets in their last 3. They played to under 2.5 in 4 of 5. Does the Luton run of really good form continue here against the fellow side that was promoted this season?
They'll be hoping so, won't they? It's a great opportunity for them. A home game against the worst team in the league to potentially put a bit of distance between yourselves and the bottom 3. Everton obviously playing the early game at City, and if they lose as expected, then Luton can really put the cat amongst the pigeons and put the Toffees in a bit of a bind. I think that they will win. Do I think they should be backed at this price? Hell no. Minus 135. No. That is way too short. The if you compare recent matchups, so over here in the FA Cup, Luton played at home, and I know there's a little bit of rotation. Luton played at home against third tier Bolton and went off at minus 143.
Wow!
And I think Sheffield United are probably a little bit better than Bolton.
You think? Yes.
So minus 135 is a touch on the short side. This is by far and away the shortest price Luton have been this season. And again, I know it's back in October, but Burnley went to Luton, obviously second bottom of the league at the moment, and they were plus 200 to get the win with Luton. So again, it's a huge drop. I know that there's a lot's changed since then, but just to put into a bit of context, that price is too short for me. What isn't too short is the goal line.
Yep.
This is, for me, probably one of the bets of the weekend, over 2.75 at minus 102. So it has moved. When I did the notes yesterday, it was plus 104. So it is moving, and I think it'll only move further just purely because of, well, A, the way in which Luton are attacking at the moment. They've really found a groove. Adebayo looks a handful. Morris is playing really well off him. They've kind of recreated what we saw last season. The fullbacks, wingbacks, Ogbeni and Doughty are really, really shining. And again, it's just down to game state and the fact that this is effectively last chance saloon for Sheffield United. And they're kind of swinging at every single game at the moment, which has led to quite a lot of high scoring contests, stretching, probably starting at that Luton game at Bramall Lane, where that was a must win for them. They ended up losing it, but they had to throw kitchen sink and hell of a lot of goals in that one. West Ham at home was exactly the same. Crystal Palace away. Obviously, last week, Villa did all the scoring, but Sheffield United still created a couple of chances. This could go the exact same way, where Sheffield United, they need to win. They've got to go out and attack, and ultimately, they know they can't defend, so the best form of defence is probably trying to outscore Luton. So, yeah, over 2.75.
Well, and Same bet, full unit play. We're aligned. Ben Brereton Diaz, like he's creating, like his XG totals are pretty decent as well. And the attack looks like it has a little bit more punch than it did earlier in the season. McAtee, he can play. So I think they could actually go there and score, but I'm just staying away from the both teams to score situation because that number jumped off the page. One of my favorite bets of the week as well. Just Kenilworth Road. It's tight. It's congested. It's animated. Suits Luton Town's playing style to a T. Recent games since the end of November, 2-1 over Palace, 3-4 loss to Arsenal, 2-1 loss to City, 3-2 loss to Chelsea. Then they beat Brighton 4-0. Like over, like all these games are running over there. Just the way that chances are created, a little bit tighter atmosphere, tighter pitch. So yeah, we're playing the over. We can move on. I mean, that get it while you can, ladies and gentlemen, because I just expect that number to go one way on Pinnacle. Let's move things forward to a couple Sunday fixtures, starting with West Ham United and Arsenal. West Ham are seventh, and they fell behind Manchester United last weekend and are stuck on 36 points after losing 3-0 at Old Trafford. No wins in six in all competitions, no clean sheet in five in all competitions, and they played to under in six of their last eight. Their last win was 2-0 over Arsenal, and that was back on December 28th. Since then, three draws and a loss in the Premier League. They are 5-4-2 at home, 18 goals scored, 11 conceded, good numbers, but their XG on understat tells a significantly different story. 15.41 XG to 16.37 expected goals against. So they have 19 points at home, but their expected point total 15.19. They haven't lost in 10 games at home in all competitions, despite those numbers. It's just Antonio and Paqueta right now who remain out, but they seem to be a little bit short in the wide areas. Arsenal tied for second, 49 points and 2 points back of Liverpool. Arteta is still running around the touchline, isn't he? Like, what? Does he think he's Jose Mourinho? What's with this guy?
He's trying. Like,
too much Red Bull before the game. After a 3-1 win, they took advantage of an Alisson Becker nightmare in that match. Three straight Premier League wins for Arsenal, over 2.5 and 4 of 5. Arsenal, the third most away points with 20 in 11 games, 6-2-3, good numbers, 17 goals scored and just 11 conceded. 11 conceded is the fewest away goals given up, and 10.8 expected goals against. That's also the best away from home as well. Jesus missed out against Liverpool, but the injury is short-term. He may be back as soon as this weekend. Zinchenko is close, and Tomiyasu is on his way back from the Asian Cup. Head-to-head, I mentioned, it was end of December, West Ham 2, Arsenal 0. Arsenal had 30 shots in that game, by the way, and 75% possession and a 2.79 XG. Just couldn't score a goal. It was also a 3-1 final in the EFL Cup. And 2-2 in this fixture last season. So based upon that, West Ham hasn't lost to Arsenal in their last three. Arsenal haven't had a clean sheet against West Ham in five, and they played to over 2.5 and 4 of 5, both teams to score the exact same. So West Ham on a really good run of form against Arsenal, coming off what was a disappointing loss, although David Moyes did maintain that his side played better football and deserved more last week against Manchester United. So one team coming off a low, the other coming off a high. What do you make of this game?
I had to wrestle with this game in terms of how I thought it was going to go. I think West Ham will be better than what we've seen in recent weeks. Now, returning back home, we've got a couple of players back fit, but still missing key stars. So I can't trust them on a handicap. But yeah, Arsenal, it's always the, you know, can they back up the big performance? Big performance against Liverpool, needed to get that win. This game's arguably as important, quite simply because Liverpool are probably going to beat Burnley. City are probably going to beat Everton. So there's no point in, you know, going out, beating Liverpool so comfortably and then turning up at West Ham and losing. So, I think Arsenal are a bit too short. But again, I'm not trusting West Ham at all. The goal line looks a about right to me. I could see this going either way. So I basically talked myself into a no bet.
Okay. So you wrestled and lost. You got pinned. 1, 2, 3.
I got pinned, yeah. Okay. My opponent basically said, look, if you're not sure, don't pull the trigger.
Let's go some recent trends in games. Both teams to score in this fixture. -126. Arsenal's been, you know, the defensive away numbers are decent. Conceded a cheap one at the end in Nottingham Forest. I do think they can be unstabilized. Kudos and Bowen can cause that back four, the way that they play, some problems here. And as good as West Ham are on set pieces, so are West Ham. James Ward-Prowse, excellent at taking them. Suchek's always a pain in the you-know-what. He's an absolute giant. Both teams to score, -126. I think this game could very well end in 1-1, potentially. I was looking at both teams to score in total goals. Just not quite willing to go there. West Ham, it hasn't always been pretty, but their away form or their home form has been very good. And their recent form against Arsenal has been very good. And coming off a low, Arsenal coming off a high, we can maybe meet somewhere in the middle. So both teams to score at -126, a full unit play. Anything else there on either side?
No, let's move on.
And let's move on to the game I actually don't have a play in, unless Jake can convince me otherwise. It is Aston Villa and Manchester United. So Villa, it's very curious. They're in fourth place. They're on 46 points in 23 games, and they're still in the mix. But their form over the last month and change is being wobbly, to say the least. And this week, it was a tale of two games. 5-0 over Sheffield United on the weekend. Then a 3-1 home loss to Chelsea, of all sides, in a fourth-round FA Cup replay. Six different goal scorers, however, over the course of the last week. Morgan Rodgers was cup-tied midweek. He'll be returning back into the side this weekend. Torres made the bench. They miss him in their, you know, kind of leading that back line. But he didn't play and hasn't played for quite a while now. Just one win in their last five in all competitions for the Villa. So that's now back-to-back home losses to a side that refused to lose at home earlier in the season. 3-1 to Chelsea. 3-1 to Newcastle. That came in the Premier League. And yeah, like I said, it was their first home loss in the Premier League of the season against Newcastle last time at home. They're still 9-1-1. Don't call the police. They're going to be okay. 30 goals scored, 11 conceded. The joint most goals scored at home in the Premier League with Liverpool at Arsenal. I mean, that's top quality right there. But they're only eighth in expected goals at home at 24.15. Ollie Watkins, 11 goals and 10 assists. That's 21 goal contributions. Second place in the Premier League, only behind Mo Salah. Zanolo missed out against Sheffield United, but he did come on midweek against Chelsea. Manchester United, sixth place, starting to score some goals. Hallelujah. 38 points and 6 points back of Spurs. Time is of the essence to close that gap. They beat West Ham at home 3-0. Hoyland in a Garnacho brace propelled them to victory. They're 5 unbeaten in all competitions. That's the longest unbeaten stretch of the season for Manchester United. And they scored 19 goals in their last seven games in all competitions. That's 13 goals scored in their last 5 Premier League games. They played to over 2.5 in 6 of 7 overall. Both teams to score in 5 of 7 overall. And that was their first clean sheet since all the way back on December 17th. That came against Liverpool. However, and this is a big however, they lost Lisandro Martinez in the process. The center back will be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Let's side with the 8 to be proceed with a little bit of caution here. And we should mention that they still have a negative goal differential on the Premier League season. They're 5-1-5 away from home, 13 goals scored, 14 conceded, 16 points, but expected points of 11.1 away. Martinez, like I said, is out. Mount, Wan-Bissaka are close. Malacia remains on a milk carton. Who knows where that guy is? Head-to-head, United beat Villa 3-2. They were down 2-0 at halftime. The game was going one way. And guess what happened? A Garnacho brace and a Hoyland goal, 3-2 win. So it's 3 wins in a row for United over Aston Villa. Villa no clean sheets in 7 against United. They played to over 2.5 in 5 of 6. Both teams to score in 5 of 6. And Villa won this fixture 3-1 last season. So no bet for me as is where I stand right now. So the floor is yours, Jake Osgathorpe.
I can't believe you're not looking at the overs and thinking I'm pulling the trigger on that. I think this is one of those must bets. Like you said, United have actually found some creativity from somewhere. They're actually creating chances and scoring goals, which is not something you could have said a month ago. And obviously the defensive issues still remain. Like, I know West Ham didn't really threaten too much, but the game before against Wolves was one absolute haphazard game of football. And yeah, you go back even further, the game against Spurs, conceded twice against Forest, twice against Villa in the reverse, still conceding goals. And that clean sheet against West Ham may start to look like a bit of a aberration.
Of course.
In about 6 games' time. Villa, very strong attacking team. Luton, away. I expect Luton to score there. Fulham might get on the score sheet at Man City. So it might be in a case, you know, in 6 games' time, we might look and go, well, they've kept one clean sheet in 10 or 11. So I'm not getting in too carried away with a decent defensive performance against a poor attacking team. Villa will create chances and score. I know they got a bit of a beatdown in midweek. Chelsea were very good. Man United could do similar. If they play in a similar manner to last week, to the West Ham game, they could do similar. They could go to Villa and get a win. But I just think the safe play is goals. I think the way in which Villa have played at home, they've created plenty of chances, no matter who they've been up against. And now we're starting to see United find a little bit of rhythm in attack and a little bit of chemistry, which has been missing for quite a while between those forward players. And let's be honest, if there's one team that you'd want, you know, against this Villa high line, Man United would be quite high up that list with the pace that they've got. Hoyland's a very direct runner. Anyone who watched him at Atalanta knows he does his best work when there's plenty of space for him to get in behind. Obviously, Rashford's very similar and Garnacho's like lightning. So this could be a really good game for United to you know, keep that scoring run going. And I would not be surprised if this was another 3-2, to be honest. Yeah, I just think the goal line over 3, I can't see there being fewer than 3 goals. I think it's at least going to be a push. And there's every chance this goes a little bit wacky, similar to the Spurs-Brighton game.
I'll let you go down that route. And I don't disagree with anything you said, but I just don't trust either team right now. I just don't. I'm just not sure what to expect. These are two managers that are very familiar with one another, and I just wonder what they may have up their sleeve in this game. Villa conceding far too many goals midweek. What's the reaction? What's the response? A combative midfield. I think Manchester United's midfield has looked much better with Mainoo and Casemiro, but they lose their line breaker breaking out of the back in Lisandro Martinez. That's a significant loss. I think defensively, they can cover him off, but the way that he sets up attacks and builds from the back, I just don't think that they have anyone like it unless they put Luke Shaw in that position, and they don't have another left back that can do it right now. I mean, Lindelof's back in the team, but I don't think he's going to go in that direction. So, I just don't trust it, Jake. I get all of what you said. I hope it goes to the over because, I mean, for a very entertaining fixture, but just for me, it's just a stay away at this point. Entirely. Yeah.
So. I think you know, we've not really touched on it. It's actually a pretty big game for both teams.
It is.
In the sense of the table, because, you know, we don't know for a fact if fifth place is going to get Champions League, but if it does, you know, if Man United can win here, they all of a sudden they're 5 points behind Villa, a Villa team that are spiraling a little bit. And the door is very much open for Man United to push second half the season and, you know, nick that Champions League spot off them. Obviously, the other way around, Villa win, and it kind of closes the door, depending on what Spurs do. So that definitely could play into things a little bit, and maybe United have to go a little bit more attacking at certain points than they perhaps might want. But I just think that this Ten Hag style is front foot anyway. So, I'd be surprised if we end up with like a 0-0 or a 1-0.
I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of feel like United might be looking at Aston Villa as the more likely team to catch here rather than Spurs.
Oh, for sure.
So it's a huge game, but that might make things a little bit more cagey as well. For your sake and everyone else, I hope it does go to the over. We shall wait and see. Rapid fire for the rest. It's my favorite bet of the weekend, but I'll let Jake go first. A Saturday fixture, it's Wolves and Brentford.
I'll let you have a guess at what I'm going to be back in here.
This is the bet. This is the bet of the weekend. Like we talked about how we like the total in Sheffield United and Luton Town. This one's 2.75 at minus 102. I'm going to make a two-unit play on this that is going to the over. Wolves are all out attack. Like, this is – don't think about Wolves last season. This season, they've been absolutely electric. 8 goals in their last 3 home games. Cunha has 9 goals and 6 assists. He looks like a world beater. Neto has 8 assists. They scored 19 goals at home this season. And Brentford are wide open. No clean sheets in their last 14 games. But look, since Ivan Toney has come back, like the goal scoring isn't an issue at all. And both teams have scored, played in 5 of 6. By the way, this is the 4th meeting since December 27th between these two teams. But the totals, 4-1 Wolves win. There was a 1-1 draw, and it was a cup game. So I'll take that for what it was. And in the replay, it was 3-2. I think it went to extra time, but whatever. Like over 2.75 at minus 102. 2 units, Jake. 2 units. Favorite bet of the week.
Yeah, sign me up for a bit of that. I'll follow you in with the big bet as well because I'm shocked at this. Again, I know we've still got a long way left to go in the season, but given the run in which Brentford have had, 1 win in 9, is it 8 losses in that time? Especially over the last couple of weeks, the Toney comes back, bang, we've got to win against Forest. But then you've got to go to Spurs and then you've got to play City at home. But now you've got Wolves away. Now, this is a chance to maybe get another 3 points. And I've got no doubt that Brentford playing in their own attack brand of football, Wolves doing the same. It could be a very entertaining match.
Also on Saturday, it's Fulham and Bournemouth. Some intriguing numbers here. Fulham at plus 138 for the win. The draw plus 265. Bournemouth to win at plus 195. Do you have a play for this one?
Same bet again. Again, I'm surprised at this price. Minus 105 for over 2.75 goals, which, yeah, I can't get my head around. As I said from the top of the show, average of 3.2 goals per game this season, and these have generally been two of the bigger contributors to that. Fulham, I mean, they did last time out, they were 2-0 up away at Burnley and then conceded 2. The game before that, it finished 0-0, but as we discussed, there was about 5.5 XG worth of chances and about a million shots. So it's very rare that they don't go over the total. And Bournemouth are the same. I know they've had a little bit of a pause, really, in terms of the goals with a couple of 1-1 draws against two teams that generally sit back as opposed to push on to them. And I think that this is a game where that's not been factored in. But basically, Fulham aren't going to play like that. Fulham are playing as the aggressors. They're going to play high press. And that kind of plays into the way in which Bournemouth want to do, you know, quick passes around the corner, back to front pretty quickly. And I think we could be in for quite a few goals here. So I'm taking the overs again at minus 105.
Yeah, we'll see on that because oftentimes Fulham can't finish their breakfast. They just, in front of goal, they look inept at times. Broja's now. Yeah,
but they've got Armando Broja now. I know. He's going to solve all the problems.
I'm not your bro, brah. I'll leave that one alone. The better team here is the underdog. It's Bournemouth. Let's make a play on the Asian handicap as a draw, no bet. So 0 at plus 8, 118. I was going to play plus a quarter of a goal at minus 119, but let's get that extra juice because I think the chances are that Bournemouth can win this outright. Fulham are still without Bassey and Iwobi, who are at the African Cup of Nations. Diop was injured. He's out, an important center back, their best center back this season. And Jimenez remains out through injury as well. Meanwhile, Bournemouth continues to play well, especially away from home. Only 1 loss in their last 6 away from home. Solanke, 13 goals, only behind Haaland and Salah. Bournemouth won the reverse fixture 3-0. It was 2-2 in this fixture last season. Bournemouth haven't lost to Fulham in their last 5, and Fulham can't keep a clean sheet against them either. So I just can't see Bournemouth losing this game. They're better than Fulham for me. So let's side with the better team on the Asian handicap for this one. Liverpool and Burnley. Liverpool were the two remaining undefeated sides at home, looking to bounce back after the disappointment of last week. And Burnley, away from home, just like at home, they're just dreadful. I mean, there's one-way traffic here in this game, but is there a play that you want to make in it?
No, no, there isn't. Handicap of -2.25. I mean, you could easily see Liverpool covering that, but I don't know. Burnley picked it. I won't say they've picked up recently, but they've been a little bit more competitive. Obviously, getting a goal at City. They pushed Villa close in a recent away game. Only lost 2-0 at home to Liverpool and came back from 2 goals down against at Fulham. So I'd be one. This is why I'm going to sit out. I was half tempted with Liverpool winning both teams to score, but that was only +147. I'd want a little bit more juice there.
I don't think that Liverpool is going to concede a goal at home to Burnley. Just, you know, Szoboszlai might be out, but Endo's coming back from the Asian Cup. Kunyate is suspended, but okay. Like, there's more than enough players in this team. Gomez slots in at center back, and then you play Trent Robertson or, you know, Bradley coming back into the team. It's going to be an emotional day as well. A Liverpool win to nil. I just don't think Burnley are going to get a sniff. At +106, good number. Burnley not to score? Come on. Like, it's Burnley at Anfield? Seems a no-brainer to me. A full unit play there. Nottingham Forest and Newcastle. What about this game, Jake?
Not to be a broken record, but over 2.75 goals. You just know, don't you? This is going to be the week where there's no goals whatsoever in the Premier League. It's going to be me that's jinxed it. We've said, forget about Wolves from last year. Forget about Forest from last year, because Forest are very much a completely different animal under Nuno. They set up in a similar way in the sense that they are trying to play a little bit of counter-attacking football, but I think they've got far better players, especially in that final third, now, especially now Wanyi's back as well. They did play midweek, which is a doubt, but even so, I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle covered this line by themselves. You know, they've welcomed back players. Harvey Barnes came back in last week, straight away with a goal. Yep. Wilson was off the bench, so I'd imagine he'd be fit enough to start here. They've scored 7 times in the last two games. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle cover this line by themselves. And they really need to get a wriggle on, to be honest, because if they're to get anywhere near European places, they can't afford to be dropping too many more points. I know they're still well in there. They're only 3 points behind West Ham in seventh, which probably will be enough for Europa League. But yeah, they've shown plenty enough to suggest that they can create chances. But I do think Forest will get on the score sheet. So overs again. Broken record.
By the way, Forest beat Newcastle 3-1 at St. James's Park. Chris Wood had a hat trick. He's not playing. He's out through injury, but Iwonyi's back in. And there's more that Divock Origi scored last time out for Nottingham Forest. I was considering a Newcastle win here at, what is it, +116, but just not enough juice for a side. On the balance of the season, they've been really poor away from home, but they've been better lately. Just Forest, a little bit of a tough place to go. So the debate was the total or both teams to score in the over at +105. The total is a little bit safer for me. Over 2.75 at -110. Full unit play. I'm following your lead once again. Let's skip ahead. Some Monday night football in the final fixture of the weekend. It's Crystal Palace and Chelsea. Talk about a game. Like, what's going to happen here? Chelsea being thoroughly dominant head-to-head against Crystal Palace. Chelsea have won 13 games in a row against Palace, and Palace haven't had a clean sheet their last 20. Olise out, Eze out, but it's Chelsea.
It's Chelsea.
That's what I come back to. So what do you make of this game?
I don't know. I think Guehi's out as well.
Yeah, it could be.
Which is another huge miss for them. It's kind of suckering me in that Chelsea win price at -117. Yeah. You know, they were absolutely abysmal against Liverpool. They were shocking at home to Wolves. They were really good away at Villa. I'm not going to make a play. I'm going to leave them alone because they're just, I still find them extremely untrustworthy. Even
totally
how depleted Palace are.
I'm like, look, the exact same thing. I don't trust this team as far as I can throw them. But at the same time, they beat Crystal Palace 13 times in a row. And what do we know about Crystal Palace? No Elise, no party. Like, they don't win when he doesn't play. And same thing with Eze. And they have neither of them. They're begging me to make a play. Look, instead of Chelsea at minus 117, Chelsea on the handicap at half a goal at minus 116. And it's just a half unit play. I'm having the slightest of nibbles. It's not even a snack. It's a bite of your friend's snack. It's like someone says, want a bite of my sandwich? You take one bite and say, yeah, you can keep the rest. That's it. That's all I'm at. Half unit play, Chelsea basically, to win this game outright. We're both aligned. Two favorite plays, Wolves-Brentford total, Luton Town, Sheffield United total. It's the week of totals for Jake. So for his sake, say a prayer to the footballing goal-scoring gods and and hopefully they play our way. This can't be the week. Yeah. After last week and all the over, this can't be the week, can it? Oh,
I bloody hope not, but... You know, I mean, I was going to say, no, in my luck, it would be, but we've actually been on a decent run recently. So,
All season. Yeah,
hopefully that continues.
Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend, Jake Osgathorpe. Keep it locked to Pinnacle and their social channels over the course of the weekend in the build up to the Super Bowl. Chiefs and Niners. Go, I can't believe I'm saying this. Go Mahomes, go Taylor Swift. That's it. And the great content that Pinnacle continues to produce and the best lines on market for your Super Bowl picks and plays. Enjoy it, Jake. Well done again this week. We'll be back next week with Champions League betting blueprint as Champions League fires up next week as well. So looking forward to that already with our good friend Andrew Beasley. So on behalf of Jake, I am Gareth Wheeler. This is the EPL Insights for Game Week 24.